Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, if you're in the markets and you're begging for the first quarter to stop already, well, we can't blame you because of how many markets across the world have fallen into bear market territory, actually. 20% below their 12-month highs, according to the traditional investment definitions. Including the Straits Times Index, which today closed below 2,500 points. And a lot of continued volatility, thanks in part to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic that continues to weigh on economies across the world, and uncertainty and the clouds of uncertainty not looking to clear up anytime soon. Let's try to make sense of how this will actually impact markets here and across the region moving forward, including the outlook for earnings also. Today on Market View, we are joined by Mr. Joel Ng, who's the head of research at KGI Securities, to share with us what he's seeing and whether or not he's got a clearer view through these clouds of uncertainty. Mr. Ng, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you and happy Monday, if we can call it that.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. Not so good evening, JP.
Yeah. So, Mr. Ng, let's talk about, let's start with markets here in the Straits Times, here in Singapore. You don't have to go too far abroad. Looking at the markets here, we've seen them fall into bear market territory, and also more than half of the STI members now hitting 52-week lows. Based on your experience of looking at the markets, how bad has the deterioration in sentiment been compared to, say, previous sell-off sessions, like, say, in 2016 and, say, the global financial crisis? How bad is the deterioration in sentiment now compared to some of those other sell-off periods?
Yeah, I would say in terms of the drawdown, it's probably as bad as the global financial crisis back in 2008 and 2009. I mean, this month has really been surreal, where we had so many negative events happening at the same time. Amid the COVID-19 outbreak, which is now spreading rapidly in the U.S. and Europe, and this will have an outsized negative impact on airlines and hospitality companies. We now have an oil price war, which will see offshore marine companies with weak balance sheets struggle to survive after just barely seeing the light at the end of the tunnel from the oil price crash 5 years ago. So the events over the past month has really dented investors' buy-the-dip mentality, which has worked well over the past few years. And I guess the lack of volatility has also created a sense of calm and complacency over the past few years. And I guess the recent sell-off has caused a significant level of panic among investors who did not go through the global financial crisis more than 10 years ago.
Now, you mentioned there are some signs of bargain hunting, people buying the dip at the moment. But in your, based on your opinion, do you think this is actually the time to go fish for bargains? We've seen markets and some of these bargain hunters get burned on occasion just over the last couple of weeks also. Should we actually be afraid of falling knives?
Yeah, it's surprising that you say that, because retail investors were the largest investors last week, where they bought around $700 million worth of shares in last week alone. I mean, it's impossible to buy or know when the bottom has been reached, and identifying it is only known on hindsight. So the next best action we can take is to evaluate the risk-reward dynamics, which to us, currently, with the current sell-off today, and over the last month, has created a once-in-a-decade opportunity to buy quality blue-chip companies with great management and long-term growth prospects. There are many opportunities now for investors who would like to invest in great companies. They are now giving attractive dividend yields and whose valuations have become the cheapest in 10 years. Having said that, there are still risks that we are watching out for that may cause a shock to the global financial system, such as a big and highly leveraged company in the travel or hospitality sectors, or even in the oil and gas sectors going bankrupt. And these may cause another round of flight to safety. So it is important for investors to be well diversified, to also include precious metals such as gold and as a hedge, as well as buying stocks in stages rather than buying all at once.
Now, you mentioned there also the budding oil price war that we saw erupt just about last Monday. And we do know that Singapore has a significant offshore and marine sector. Now, you've commented on the sector in the past also. But given how the outlook seems to be getting gloomier and gloomier, at least in terms of oil prices falling, how is this going to affect the offshore and marine sector here in Singapore? Are there any of these firms perhaps in danger of, say, even dare I say, heaven forbid, bankruptcy, for instance, Joel?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I've been covering the oil and gas sectors for the last 7 to 8 years. And if you recall, the two sectors that were significantly impacted 5 years ago when oil prices crashed were the oil and gas companies and the banks. This time around, there are not that many offshore marine companies left, at least those that are still publicly listed in Singapore, while the banks have largely minimized exposure to the sector. Our view is that oil prices may hover around the $30 range until to a point where U.S. oil production drops by 3 million barrels per day, or around 20 to 30% from the previous levels, before Saudi Arabia decides to stop the price war. I would like to point out that it does accelerate the need for Singapore's two largest shipyards, which are Keppel Offshore Marine and Sembcorp Marine, to finally merge and consolidate their resources in order to compete effectively against the Chinese and Korean yards.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Joel Long, who's the head of research at KGI Securities. The other thing we'd like to ask you, too, Joel, is with all of this full deck, I guess, of risk factors that have really hit market sentiment and pushed a lot of these markets into bear territory, the big question is, how is this going to impact earnings moving forward? I know you have your own estimates already out there, but how has this changed your estimates? Or should we just accept the fact that a lot of companies are going to bleed moving forward when the next earnings seasons roll around?
COVID-19 has definitely thrown everyone's initial expectations of a quick V-shaped recovery, which was the case during the SARS outbreak in 2003. But the key difference now is that while SARS was largely contained within Asia, COVID-19 has now spread rapidly to Europe and the US, where they do not have the same experience of dealing with this kind of outbreak as we had in Asia. How this translates to the economy is that there's definitely a higher level of risk now, and the likelihood of a global recession is at the highest level since the global financial crisis in 2008. We are seeing all sectors seeing a slowdown, and this is creating a downward spiral in business and consumer confidence.
And, of course, Joel, we have to talk also about the overnight move of the Fed to cut rates by about 100 basis points and basically using up almost all of their ammo. They might just have one or two bullets left at the moment. But again, if other central banks start to follow suit, this, of course, and undoubtedly will put pressures on yields and also net interest margins, which brings us again to the banking sector. We've highlighted before that 40% of the STI is weighted down by the big three also. Can you share with us how this is also impacting your outlook for the banks here? Are you among some of the more optimistic that think that the banks are still going to be resilient, or are these going to be some of their biggest challenges we've seen in years?
You're right. I think the banks are going to definitely see one of the biggest challenges over the last 10 years. The banks are going to get hit by the twin headwinds of the slowing economy due to COVID-19 and a lower interest rate environment, which will impact their net interest margins. The rising risk of non-performing loans amid a weak economic environment will also be a headwind for the banks. I mean, while we acknowledge that we are not out of the woods yet in terms of the uncertainty caused by the coronavirus outbreak and that the global economy may potentially enter a deeper slowdown than what we currently expect, the recent volatility in the markets has really exacerbated fund outflows as institutional investors rush for the exits. And this has probably created opportunity for investors with at least a one-year time horizon to accumulate the banks whose share price have dropped around 20-30% just over the last 2 months. For the three local banks, DBS, OCBC, and UOB, their valuations are now near the 10-year range, while their dividend yields are above 5%. We definitely see value among the banks as they are well-positioned when the economy eventually recovers, although we acknowledge that it is hard to make any estimates of when that may happen. But the key point is that they are well-positioned in terms of being leveraged to growth in Asia, where we expect to recover faster than the U.S. or Europe, and which remains the fastest-growing region in the world, accounting for almost two-thirds of the global growth.
All right. And Joel, finally, before we let you go, you've mentioned that these are good times to actually start accumulating some of these quality stocks. But as we mentioned, the downturn there's still a possibility that the downturn continues, there is no way of telling where the bottom is also. If the question now is, how should a retail investor go about accumulating some of these, and what strategy should they employ if they want to go in but avoid getting cut too deeply by any falling knives?
Yeah, I think number one rule is that in this kind of environment, it's important not to leverage up. It is important for investors as well to be well diversified, meaning having a portfolio of equities, bonds, and precious metals to hedge as well in this very uncertain environment. And when investing in equities, it is best advised to invest in stages rather than buying all at once, because identifying, as I said, earlier, identifying the bottom is only known on hindsight.
All right. Slowly but surely and in stages, it seems. Wise words from Joel Ung, head of research at KGI Securities. Sir, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and have a pleasant day ahead.
Okay.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.